third down and 20.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the 3rd and 20 Dynasty Podcast, Season 3, Episode 44. I'm JT, joined by my good friend Frank and some guy we know, Lunas. How's it going, guys? I'm just going to break us right into the news and notes here. I don't know about you guys, but we're in that point in the offseason where there's just not a whole lot going on. It's the OTAs. We do have some releases, some rumors going around, I guess I'd say, but otherwise it's kind of a lull of the dynasty time. But that's also a good time for you to start, I don't know, buying, selling, you know, trying to make the big buys and sells of the offseason. Maybe not focus on fitting your team right away, but at least establishing what your team is going to be looking like and getting players that are overvalued off your roster, players that are undervalued on your roster. And speaking of players that have a weird valuation, we already have one in Rashad Bateman who has gotten a cortisone shot for his injury. If you guys remember last year, Rashad Bateman missed the end of last season with a Lisfranc injury. The year prior to that, he missed a good chunk of time due to a groin injury. So we haven't had a full season yet of Rashad Bateman, and his value has been all over the place. I think if I look now on the bulletproof
FF.com
ADP, it scrapes it from sleeper. So in startups, Rashad Bateman's going at 9-12, the end of the ninth round. He's wide receiver 41. He's behind the likes of Jonathan Mingo and Keenan Allen in terms of wide receivers, and then ahead of Mike Williams and Kadarius Toney. So that's right away around where Rashad Bateman lies. And with Zay Flowers and OBJ getting added, Mark Andrews there, I want to know what your guys' valuation of Rashad Bateman is right now.
Probably just not investing in him. I'm not drafting him. I'm not going to be trading for him. Realistically, a mid-second is right around where I would probably have him valued at. I don't think he's necessarily like miles better or worse than the receivers he's being drafted around. So if you do pick him up, let's say like early 10th of a startup, I'm not going to be someone who's unhappy with that. There's definitely a lot of upside there. Problem is, I think that Zay Flowers is more dynamic, and especially once Zay Flowers gets acclimated to the offense, I think that there's a good chance that he adds more than Bateman does. OBJ, I think, is if he's at least as good as he was previously in the league in the seasons that we've seen him play, easily he's better. Like you said, Mark Andrews is going to eat. I just think this might be one of those scenarios where Bateman is kind of just a better... Did you guys hear that ding? I just set up my freaking messages to go through my computer, so now I'm going to be getting text messages dinging in my ear.
Fine. No, it didn't go through this.
Okay, good. I was going to turn that off instantly. But yeah, I think this is one of those scenarios where Bateman could still be fine, but he's just probably going to be too inconsistent to where you really want to have him in your lineup week in and week out. As a depth piece, it's decent, but man, I'm in the territory. I just might rather have that mid-second. I don't know who from this class I'd want to take him over necessarily, but let's say I could exchange Bateman for 206 next draft. That's definitely something I'd heavily consider. And especially like if we start looking at kind of like running backs around his range where he's apparently cheaper than David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, AJ Dillon, Brian Robinson, James Conner. I all those veterans, I think, add you more from a points perspective. And I even think that there's players, especially like looking at these tight ends, that potentially offer just as much upside as Bateman. So I'm probably just not going to be investing him at all.
I lean the same way. I would accept that future 206 for Bateman. I think the tricky part is not so much as like how we're viewing it from the outside of someone who doesn't have him, but if you do have him on your roster, you probably spend... Where was his ADP around when he was being drafted?
Like a late first.
Late first, if not like 201 or something. At this point, has it like with all the news, like are you worried about his value dropping like too much? Where you just said like, okay, I'm just going to hold and hope for the best. So are you trying to jump off ship now?
I kind of want to jump off ship now just because if he doesn't do really well in the early of the season, then I think his price goes down more. And then I do think he could become a buy because his profile from college was pretty good. I wasn't a huge fan of him as a prospect, but there is something to be said about his long-term value, right? Because I don't think that he is like a terrible receiver. I do think he offers you a decent amount. So he's just not low enough for me to want him. If he drops, let's say, another round, to where, because then you start looking at the receivers going like in the 11th, right, kind of like what Gabe Davis is valued at right now. If he reaches Gabe Davis territory in that 11th round or like mid 11th round, then I think his profile, he wasn't like horrible his rookie season. I do think he could turn it around, whether that's on the Ravens or not, long term.
Here are some trades that involve Rashad Bateman in the past 3 days. We have Rashad Bateman and a 2024 first for TJ Hockenson. We have Rashad Bateman for Cortland Sutton, a 2023 third and 2023 fourth. Doesn't say where. We have Rashad Bateman and a 2026 fifth for Juju Smith-Schuster and James Robinson. We have Rashad Bateman for a 2024 first. Rashad Bateman for Pat Freiermuth, Rashad Bateman for Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman for James Conner in a third, Rashad Bateman in a third for Aaron Jones. There's a lot of different ways people are moving Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman for 210. Seems like valuation is all over the place too.
Yeah, I was going to say there was for one first and a late second. Yeah, one for 210. I think a lot of those trades I would feel comfortable doing. Like, would I flip? Obviously, the first one's kind of whoever did that overpaid. But someone like, I think I'd rather at this point have Elijah Moore over Bateman, considering also the position he's in, that wide receiver two spot in Cleveland's wide open. Freiermuth, I think I would take over Bateman.
I'd definitely take Freiermuth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, like, tough to, like, kind of gauge his value with, like, you would need to find, like, a truther in him to really get, like, well, I don't think you're going to get a first anymore, but a higher-end second.
Well, that brings me to my next point, is that does Bateman still offer enough from, like, in the light of the Dynasty community and with his upside that we kind of mentioned, are you able to package Bateman, let's say, with a second, and move up to get yourself a Deontay Johnson, a future first-round pick, a Hollywood, a McLaurin? Is he still valued highly enough to do a move like that?
I mean, looking at, like, Bateman a second here, got a first and a third. That would definitely be enough to get, like, a Deontay, I think.
Because I would smash something like that.
Same. And I liked what one of the trades you said where it was Bateman and a first for Hockenson. I think that was a good move. Obviously, it depends on where the first is, but I'm assuming it's kind of a later end or mid. In terms of some of those receivers, I guess it depends on where the second is, but I would do any of those trades that you mentioned where trying to package him with a second to get an upgrade there and kind of just jump off ship now.
JT, I like this one.
Are you holding on to him, or are you also on the side of me and Frank of kind of jumping ship, where, like, now his value is, like, that mid-second?
Looking at the trades I said, I feel like there's a lot of them where I'd rather be trading away Rashad Bateman than trading for Rashad Bateman. Mm-hmm. So, same. I guess, in that regard, I guess I'm going to trade Rashad Bateman. I mean, the one that I found interesting, and I flipped over it, so now I can't see it anymore, but here it is. Rashad Bateman, 106, and David Bell for Breece Hall. I want Breece Hall there. I don't know about you guys, but I want Breece Hall.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah,
106 is probably JSN or Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, I think for Breece Hall, yeah. Unless someone's like really that big of a Gibbs truther, I'd pull the trigger on that.
I simply put, I think that's a value increasing move. So even if you didn't like Breece Hall, then you can move Breece Hall into the likes of Chris Olave, T. Higgins, If you really wanted to go for points, someone like a Saquon, you could get plus for Cooper Kupp or Devontae Adams, right? Like, I just like the flexibility of Hall there. And I think you're gaining a lot of value. I don't actually think that trade's particularly fair, to be honest with you.
Really? 106. I mean, I have Breece Hall. I also have Rashad Bateman in league. So, I probably wouldn't trade Breece Hall for that. But I'd consider it, at least. We talked about Treylon Burks last week. A trade here is Treylon Burks for Rashad Bateman and Amari Cooper. And I think there I'd probably trade away Treylon. So I think you're just going into two receivers who are similar. Like, Rashad Bateman has less of a chance of breaking out than Treylon Burks does, but I think it's not, you know, it's not enough for me to just throw another wide receiver on top, where I think I'm given two decent wide receivers for another just decent wide receiver kind of thing.
Right. He's really on the brink of being a buy. Because kind of like I was saying earlier, right, if he at that price in the Amari Cooper trade, you're getting him almost at like an early third, very, very late second type of valuation. I do think that that is worth the risk. I'm not a huge fan of the very late second this year. So, I don't really think that that's a bad move by any stretch of the imagination. What's going on, chat? Skull, you have him in 2 out of 3 leagues. What are you doing? You holding him? What's going on, Joe? Joe says Hall easy. I agree.
Yeah, I eventually end up on the Hall side of that, but it's not. Just depends on how you feel about Jahmyr Gibbs / JSN, I think, and what they're going to do compared to Breece Hall. All right, I think that's enough Rashad Bateman talk, though. The next one that we have, I'm going to move these around here because I think this is the one that we spent a decent amount of time on, but it is probably the most prevalent, is Dalvin Cook has been cut by the Minnesota Vikings. Shepard tweeted out officially, I think it was a little less than a week ago. We didn't talk about it on the last pod. Like, it didn't happen by the time the last pod dropped. So it is official. I mean, we've discussed it in the past. But I feel like from a different angle, what do we think about Alexander Mattison? I see he's taking up a decent amount of the Dynasty subreddit currently, discussions on Alexander Mattison, people trying to argue he's worth a first, people saying he's so overvalued, overhyped, get out of Mattison now. Where do you guys stand?
If I could get a first for Mattison, I would.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the issue that I have is that when you look at the other running backs, that because it's not... I see the argument for Mattison, right? We've seen it with Pollard right now. I mean, we've seen it time and time again where you just have a legitimately nasty running back in front of the guy that he was behind, on top of them being a young player. I mean, you can go through like Michael Turner. I mean, there's so many examples of this happening that it's not uncommon enough to where Mattison could be a top tier running back in this later stage of his career. The problem is, I think, and I believe the numbers back it up a little bit. I don't have them off the top of my head, so, you know, go find a better Dynasty podcast if you want them. Mattison just wasn't as productive when Cook was healthy. When Cook was on, when you look at the guys, let's just take Tony Pollard, for example. Tony Pollard was good when Zeke was still on the team. He was getting touches and was productive and was actually playable in fantasy. Mattison was strictly a handcuff. And I think when you go and look back at a lot of these, and you can expand it from just the running back position, right? Take Dallas Goedert when he was behind Zach Ertz. He was playable. He was still productive, even though there was a dominant, better tight end at the time in front of him. Mattison, that didn't happen. So for this pretty extreme price these at, the fact that people think he's in the realm of a first round pick, yeah, it's easy sell, no shot I'm buying.
Yeah, I lean on your side too. I'll try to capitalize on like the hype that he's getting, and then, like, I could see him having, if he's like the main guy, I could see him having a pretty good year, but I'm still selling for that price because he's not talented enough to where he can't be replaced in by some like fourth round back next year or just some like cheap free agent signing running back. Assuming like that doesn't even happen this offseason that they don't bring anyone else in. Like you said, like he couldn't produce at all until Lesky was like fed a bunch of touches, which is why I'm saying I could see him having a decent year this year, but I would try to get off it because I don't think there's going to be much after this season.
Recent trades involving Alexander Mattsson. Mattsson for first, second, and fourth. The first is in 2025, 2024 second, 2024 fourth.
Jesus Christ.
Mattsson for 2 seconds in 2024. Mattsson for 2024 second and third. Mattsson for John Mechie in a 2024 second. Mattsson for Hollywood Brown. Mattsson and Khalil Herbert for George Pickens and Nico Collins. I'm going to try and focus on solely Mattsson trades. Mattsson for 2024 first. Mattsson for 108 this year's rookie draft. Mattsson for 2024 first. Mattsson for Sky Moore in a third.
His price is a little bit jumpy because I think we can all agree that the firsts are pretty smash sell Mattissons. I would be in that camp, though, and I think compared to Rashad Bateman, this is a much better player to do it with. Doing that, especially if you're a contender, Mattsson in a second for a first or first equivalent player. So to me, that would be like a Hollywood, a Deontay, a McLaurin. Those are probably the cheapest first round pick straight up level players that you could get. Obviously anything higher than that I would also do, right? If you could do, let's say, picking up DJ Moore, picking up Brandon Ayuk, even Jerry Jeudy, Treylon, Debo Samuel, any of those types of players, I would be gladly selling Mattsson in a second for.
I'm with you. I can't believe someone traded
in a second. Someone traded first, second, and fourth for him. It looks more like it's 2 seconds. Second and third is probably more where he's valued. But you do like that Hollywood Brown trade, just straight up 100% doing that.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think that Mattsson is closer to someone of like a Daryl Henderson caliber than.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm honestly scared that Keen and Gwangwu and the dude that they just drafted, I forget his name, McBride or McSomething or another?
Dwayne McBride?
Dwayne McBride. That those guys are legitimately better runners, not as polished because Madison's just kind of been around the block a little bit more, so you can kind of trust him with a decent-sized workload. But if those guys start putting it together and are playing well, and or Mattsson sucks, because we have seen games where he was in charge where he sucked. Yeah, he has games where he was in charge and he was good, but once again, like, I just don't think he's going to be consistent. This is purely just he's going to get volume, he's going to be good. I really don't see the talent that's making him worth anything. And, like, when you look at it, why is he now valued higher than Cam Akers? Right? Why is he valued high? Like, there's so many running backs. I think A.J. Dillon is a legitimately better running back than him. Zach Charbonnet, even. Yeah, the situation's worse. I think Zach Charbonnet is just a better running back. Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon.
He's ahead of Miles Sanders value-wise.
I mean, if he's going for I don't think you can get a first-round pick for any of those players. So the fact that I have seen Mattsson being sold for a first, he's at least in the realm.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. But yeah, the hype.
Ty Chandler, yeah, no, time. See, that's just a guy that I don't really like.
I was catching up on chat. It seems like mostly negative from chat regarding Alexander Mattsson. I don't see Mattsson as a workhorse. Skull does have Mattsson Pollard on the same team.
Skull, if you didn't have Mattsson, I would have been shocked because you have every backup running back known to man.
Okay. I'm going to move us along.
We could talk about Dalvin, though. We could talk about Dalvin now.
True. So Pro Football Talk came out and said Denver Broncos not interested in Alexander Mattsson. Jake told me over the weekend the opposite was true, which I was like, oh, really? Why are they? Like, does that mean Javonte's injury is, like, that bad? Well, it turns out Jake was just wrong. It was the other way around. The Broncos are not interested in Dalvin Cook, which makes me think, A, he's still commanding a high price, and B, maybe Javonte is healthy, or at least healthy enough to go, and they don't feel like they need to spend that much on a second running back on that team. So I guess, one, do we think Dalvin Cook signs before training camp, or at least during training camp, before the actual regular season starts? And two, where does he go if he does?
I mean, the chefs which we put out, Dolphins and Broncos, and then the Broncos report came out, so I guess you'd have to say the Dolphins are the front runner. I hypothetically, that's a good offense and great landing spot for him to go to, because it's going to be high scoring. I more so wonder, and I guess, like, we'll wait to speak on it in more detail, like, once the signing actually does happen. I do think he will get signed before training camp. Like, how it affects, like, a chain, like, if, like, his rookie value starts to drop a little bit, because he's going, like...
Oh, 100% would.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because he's going, like, early second, and then now I don't know where he's going to fall to. I'd imagine still in the second round, I just don't know how many picks down. And how much of a threat, like, he would still be to Dalvin Cook, because they still also have Mostert. And there are people, like, I've seen people talking online who are, like, just convinced that Dalvin Cook's washed, and they're like, I don't know if a healthy Mostert is worse than him. But there are people who still think Mostert healthy can be a better runner. Well, you don't think so at all?
I think those people are just wrong. They're gonna say a 27-year-old Dalvin Cook is washed when a 31-year-old Raheem Mostert isn't. Like, I don't know what we doing. Like, you could be like, oh, like, Dalvin Cook gets injured. Raheem Mostert's always injured. I don't know what.
Yeah,
that's just, I don't agree with that. But with Miami, I think a chain takes a huge hit. I think he becomes that kind of third down back, where he's more in the pass game, even though Frank says he's not a good pass catcher. But he's definitely not the workhorse back. That's Dalvin Cook. I think Dalvin Cook steps on most teams and is the workhorse guy. He's the clear cut guy. Like, he gets a 75% target or workload share on the Vikings. I don't really see that taking a drastic hit on most teams he signs. Joe's in chat saying Cook had no reason to hurry, and waiting gets him more money if he is an injury replacement. That's kind of where I was going when I was framing my question. I think that's more so what we're going to see, because everyone knows, like, players go down in training camp, preseason. Yeah. You don't want your season to be derailed before it even starts if you're an NFL organization. So we saw it last year with J.K. Dobbins right away. Was Javonte also preseason?
No.
No, Javonte was in the season. Someone else was preseason, though. I can't remember.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense, where if the starting back on a, especially a contender, goes down, you go in and you're willing to spend the extra cash to get a Dalvin. The question I have, though, is that right now the Dolphins are the front runner, but their main concern, and most teams' concern, they don't want to give him that contract. If he starts to get low enough to where the Dolphins are heavily considering it, at that point, do you not start to get the other teams that could just use a running back? Let's say he's getting like $5 million on, or maybe like $7 million on a 1-year deal. You don't think a team like the Bills might just be like, you know what, why not? The Chiefs, the Bengals, right? Just a heavy contender that they're like, dude, this is just so worth it for the chance at a workhorse back that we can just run into the ground who's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. And to build on that, though, I think there's other teams that have money to just throw around where maybe they're going to give Dalvin Cook more than $5 million. Like, my Patriots, for example, we're going to talk about a different player that might have visited with them recently. I'm going to guess that player doesn't sign with the Patriots. So then they just have this cap space to throw around. You have Damien Harris who left. You have a good Ramondre Stevenson. But then the rest of the guys are just, I don't think they're good, personally. I mean, and you hear good reports out of training camp about them, but I don't think they're that good. And this offense is pretty bland and gross as is. Why not bring in the likes of a Dalvin Cook? And I'm sure that's the same for other teams as well. I mean, the Browns might want to bring him in instead of Kareem Hunt if it's more, you know, if they feel like it's an upgrade. The Texans, for example, they probably just have a bunch of cash to throw around at this point. I'm trying to think of other teams off the top of my head
who might just want one. If he's if this is purely a money move, one thing that does give Miami a big edge, that no state income tax.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where his family's from and everything. So it's, you know, you don't have to move everyone out. It's there's a there's definitely an appeal for Miami for Dalvin Cook.
Dude, but what if the Cooks just run Buffalo? What if it's just the Cook backfield?
That actually is great.
Too many Cooks?
I'm interested to see if like Joe Mixon ends up in the same situation in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting cut.
Wouldn't they have cut him already if they would? Or is that is there some stipulation that they can't?
I am not 100% sure on like the dates with like when something's due. I just remember
After June 1st that the
I don't know why you'd wait 2 weeks to then cut him if that was the case. You think someone would trade for Joe Mixon? Yeah, I guess his contract's better.
The offseason, though, every single old running back that's gotten the massive extension has been on the block, and obviously no one's buying. So,
yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I feel like Joe Mixon's going to be on the Bengals this year. I don't really see that changing at this point, unless, more off the field issues stuff happens, but I'm not going to bank on that. All right. Are we done with?
Oh, Dalvin my Cook bold talk. Prediction?
Yep.
Zeke goes to the Vikings.
Oh.
I honestly hope that happens just for like all the hype that Madison's getting. And then just
That's just another reason to move off Madison.
Yeah, no, I'd be doing so now.
Yeah. Like if you're worried about Zeke, I don't know about that. I think he just ends up re-signing with the Cowboys, but for just way less money than he was supposed to get. I don't really know where else he would go.
I think it's funny that Zeke gave like a list of teams and then just like none of them have signed him.
Well, like, he's in a similar spot. He wanted a better contract. So now he's in this limbo where he's not going to take like a 1 year, $3 million deal right now. And no one's offering anything substantial.
Yeah. Teams just are not going to spend big money on old running backs who, especially with the case of Zeke, looks to have lost a step from there.
It's not only that. Teams like the Bills and the Chiefs, who both could use a running back like that, they have to create cap to sign these guys. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a matter of, we don't want to give them a $7 million deal. It's, now we're mortgaging our future a little bit. Obviously, they have good players that they can do some cap maneuvering bullshit with. But there is a huge argument to be made. It's like, what if we just spent that 5 or 6 mil elsewhere? We've got fucking Mahomes and Josh Allen. Is this really the player taking us over the hump that's worth? I think that's a huge argument to be made for that. So, yeah, if that price gets down to like 3 mil, then those teams, I think, are in.
The Chiefs also last year, they just took Jerick McKinnon, who was doing nothing, after Clyde Edwards-Helaire was doing nothing, and they're like, this is our guy, and we're going to win a Super Bowl with this guy. And they could have done it with probably any running back and been like, yeah, we're going to win a Super Bowl with these guys. So, I mean, it kind of shows you where the running back position is now valued in the NFL standards.
Especially when you have a top-end quarterback. You can get away. Yeah. You don't need to be fucking prime Dalvin Cook to run against the light box and get enough yards for your offensive coordinator to be happy and for a team to have to start respecting the run. You really don't need that.
Exactly.
Unless any of you have anything else to say on Cook, because it's kind of relating to this topic.
Not paying running backs, yeah.
Yeah, with Saquon now and his contract issues. Are you guys worried about it at all? Or you guys think the deal gets done?
Worried about, thinking Saquon's going to hold out kind of thing?
Yeah.
No, I think Saquon signs with the Giants. I don't know if you guys saw what his whole theory was, but, the Cowboys and the Raiders tagged Tony Pollard and Josh Jacobs respectively to keep the price tag of running backs down because he thinks he was going to get paid a lot more. I think that probably wasn't the case, that he was going to get paid a ton of money. I mean, he's in a different realm in terms of quality of player than Dalvin Cook is, but I mean, we've now seen Dalvin Cook go almost a week without signing and isn't getting the money he's looking for. So I think Saquon might be starting to realize that, hey, it's kind of just unluck of the draw, where it's like you're playing a running back position and NFL teams have all decided not to really value that position anymore. So you're likely not going to get that big contract that you're looking for. It does seem like something where they would be able to make a compromise, though, like probably the Giants come up a little bit. Saquon comes down a decent bit. But I think he ends up signing and playing with the Giants this year.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know what's going to happen. They're in a weird spot now because Saquon is Saquon, right? He's a nasty fucking player. So, but yeah, like we've seen it time and time again. You want to give him $13, $14 million a year over an extended period of time, 2 years down the line, that is a horrible contract for you. And you have to do exactly what the Vikings did, or you have to sit there and just be happy. Right. So like you're and I'm not saying that this couldn't be the case, but you are betting on Saquon being like fucking Adrian Peterson. Right. Yeah. Like that's and he very well could be. He has the talent to, but it's not guaranteed. And we've seen some of these running backs fall off a cliff out of nowhere. Wherever Hunt, Zeke or Lenny end up are going to nuke some running back situations. Yeah, I completely agree. It's just impossible to tell.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago on the pod too, where it's just like a lot of these running backs, especially the not great ones, are being valued pretty highly for running backs that can instantly get their job snatched away from them.
Looking at what was the biggest multi-year contract giving this offseason, I think it was to a running back. Pretty sure it was Miles Sanders, who obviously isn't in the same tier as Saquon, but still pretty good. He got 4 for $25 million. Which is about 6.2 mil per. And even it's like.
That's what's interesting right now about the running back position. It's not that it's not valued. It's just that the top end has been completely shrunk. Because if you look at the running back contracts of the mid running backs, they actually got paid, right? Jamal Williams got paid. Miles Sanders got paid. But you have to pay 2-3x that for a Saquon, which is where the real discrepancy is. It's not that these running backs, it's not like teams are like, oh, we hate running backs. They're still being drafted pretty high, and they're still getting deals. They're just not getting 15, like the top end guys you just don't want to give this crazy fucking contract to, where you're giving up a huge chunk of your cap.
I think where GMs are looking at it from allocation of their salary cap, they're seeing like, oh, I want to be, obviously, I want my quarterback on the rookie deal, but if I don't have him on the rookie deal, like I want my quarterback to be getting paid after that, you know, probably edges and everything. And they're not looking at running back as one that they want as a big allocation of their salary cap. They don't want to be tied down to a running back. So seeing the likes of a Saquon getting that $12, $13, $14 million of the cap, that's it's tough for a GM to, you know, put the pen to paper and sign Saquon to that kind of money. When you can get the likes of Miles Sanders for $6 million or so, and Miles Sanders is not nearly as good as Saquon Barkley, but he will do a serviceable job. And I mean, we just saw him with the Eagles. If you have the good quarterback and wide receiver surrounding him, it doesn't really matter like how good your running back is. Like that's not the key point or the key part of the team. So it's kind of,
yeah, that's how a lot of the, I mean, data analytics in football is getting more and more and more prevalent. And a lot of these GMs that teams are signing are heavily influenced by the data analytics. And a large part of that is how they're constructing their rosters. All the teams that heavily value the running backs, right? Like the Steelers are a team that drafted Najee in the first, but they still have him. So like, why are you going to go get Dalvin Cook, right? The Patriots have a guy like Ramondre Stevenson. You can make a clear argument that Ramondre Stevenson is not just even like a top 10 back in the league, but even getting higher than that as he gets more developed into the NFL, right? Like the teams that heavily value the running backs already have them. So that's where like another kind of problem, you know, lies.
Anything else you guys want to touch on with Saquon?
Is this impacting your dynasty value of Saquon at all, this whole thing coming up with him?
It doesn't impact my dynasty value of him, but it is like kind of, I do think ultimately he'll be playing week one because I think the Giants have to pay him just because of how important he is to that offense. I would kind of be like in the back of my head, like, oh, like if he sits out like the first couple weeks, that'd be really fucking annoying because that's RB1 production that like you now have to like replace in your lineup. So I think it's mostly just that concern. And then maybe looking if like seeing what like his handcuff is. But I think ultimately they'll figure the contract out because they need it. I can't imagine the Giants offense like being able to run without him.
What about Saquon long term? Are you nervous about Saquon long term at the current valuation he's at right now?
Well, what's his current? Let me pull it up. I want to see how he is in relation to some guys at other.
He's positions. In the smack middle of the third, right around T. Higgins. So, like, let me just. Here's a couple interesting players that I think you could legitimately get after Saquon in startups. Mark Andrews, Devontae Smith, JSN, ETN, and I'll cap the list there. And I'll throw in Ramondre as well. Like, is the age factor of Saquon now starting to come in play to where you would rather have that list of players that are just younger, but you're sacrificing production for hopefully...
Did Frank freeze for you also?
He did freeze for me.
List. I do think it is interesting. I think it depends on what position your team is on. Because I know, I don't think at least that you're as high on him as me, but like someone like Travis Etienne, if I was trying to get younger, if I could like...
Oh, no, I like Travis Etienne.
Oh, okay, you do. I forgot who didn't. Maybe Jake.
Jake doesn't.
Because someone like him, I think... You're paired with Trevor Lawrence. That offense is only going to become better by the year, and I think higher scoring. So someone like him, I think it's intriguing. Or even like Frank mentioned, Mark Andrews. So and I don't think it's just Saquon. I think this you can apply the same logic to McCaffrey. Even though I know McCaffrey kind of has a higher ceiling with points, but he's had his injury issues, and so those running backs, like unless I'm like really with Saquon and CMC, unless I'm like really viewing like I'm trying to win the chip this year, if I think I'm a middle of the road team, or especially kind of like a lower end playoff team, whatever that may be, I'd be looking to get younger. I think it only makes sense to kind of still be keeping those guys, especially when their value is still so high for running backs who are like 26 years old, turning 27 soon, if you think you can win a championship with them this season.
So where I touch on that, McCaffrey, I disagree with. I just think he is that cheat code. So I'm not moving off McCaffrey. Saquon, the only one that Frank listed that I would probably move off Saquon for is Mark Andrews, just because I think what you're getting from Mark Andrews at that position long term, in a position that's really barren right now. That's appealing. Otherwise, I'm just gonna stick with Saquon. I'm not moving him for the likes of Ramondre. I'm not moving him for Josh Jacobs. Etienne's like nice, but he does have that Liz Frank injury. Also, I don't know how much Tank Bigsby is going to eat into his workload. So I'm not completely sold on Etienne, not sold enough at least to trade Saquon for him. For the most part, I think Saquon's decently valued. There are players ahead of him that I think I'd just rather have Saquon over. I mean, Tyreek Hill's one of them. Jahmyr Gibbs is another. CJ Stroud is another. Where I'd just rather have Saquon. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young. I'd rather have Saquon over both of them. Chris Olave is a weird one. I don't know if I'd take Chris Olave or Saquon, but just from what we've seen from Saquon so far, he's kind of superhuman. Like he's that Adrian Peterson kind of player, like Frank was saying, like that's kind of what he has to be. Well, that's kind of who I think he is. I do think he's probably nearly appropriately valued, though, looking at the Bulletproof FF ADP, where he is smack dab in the middle of the third. I'd probably just bump him up a couple of spots much more quickly than I'd bump him down a couple of spots. So that's about where I'd value Saquon. I don't know what Frank was going to add on top of this, if anything. But we're still without Frank, so I think I'm just going to transition us to the next segment, and then maybe he could backtrack us if he wants, but otherwise we'll just continue on. And the next segment is DeAndre Hopkins. We've talked about him a couple weeks now. He's visiting with the Titans and Patriots, which honestly, probably not two teams that you'd want him to sign with if you're if you have DeAndre Hopkins on your roster. Not that I like, look, I think wherever DeAndre Hopkins is going to go, he's going to get crazy targets here. He's going to be good, but it's just like,
who would you prefer between those two teams? If like you had Hopkins, I think I'd lean the Patriots.
Yeah, where I'd want Hopkins to go. Yeah, just because I think Mac Jones, I think that team's going to throw it more with Bill O'Brien. Like, this Titans team, all I've seen them do is run the ball. I'm not really convinced it's going to change anyway. So, yeah, I think Hopkins on the Patriots would be better. So you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. He doesn't have any other scheduled things, right? I saw the report.
I think he met with the Texans, too.
The Texans sound like there's a landing spot.
Yeah, let me see what's up with.
I'm not for the Titans. I don't think, because I'm still like pretty, I don't think it quite as high as you, but very high on Treylon Burks. And I think there's no chance they could support two receivers in that offense. With kind of how it's been trending, along with like Tannehill's injury history and everything. So I wouldn't be, and who do you think would be the, I guess, D-Hop, but I think Treylon Burks could like overtake him if they're on the same team by the end of next season.
Nah, it's D-Hop. Wherever D-Hop goes, he's probably, there's very few teams that I see D-Hop ending on where he wouldn't be the number one wide receiver. And I think the Patriots and Titans are both teams where he definitely is, and I don't think he's going to give that up, barring he stays healthy. I'm not sure where else DeAndre Hopkins would go, though. I remember the Bills being a good name. What'd you say, the Ravens?
Yeah, they kind of got eliminated after they signed OBJ. Because a lot of the teams that you think would add someone like Hopkins already added, like the Cowboys would be one that comes to mind, but they added Brandon Cooks already. And then he's apparently looking for a similar contract to Odell's, which was like kind of pricey. So it'd have to be a team with a decent amount of cap room as well. I think the Texans make a ton of sense. I'm trying to think off the top of my head which team like makes sense that needs a receiver that has an added one besides like the Texans, Titans, and Patriots. I guess maybe Carolina if you want to say them, but
I'm looking at Pat McAfee's show, and they had a segment, all hints leading to DeAndre Hopkins joining the Tennessee Titans.
It looks like it's going to be the Titans. If he does go to the Titans, do you think that affects Treylon at all? Or like how much?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. Because yeah. Treylon's going from the wide receiver one on this offense, which it probably wasn't going to pass the ball a ton, to the wide receiver two on this offense, which probably isn't going to pass a ton. Like,
yeah.
It took a crazy target share for AJ Brown to have successful seasons on this Titans offense. Treylon's just, it's going to be very difficult for him to have that kind of target share with DeAndre Hopkins there.
And then you see like the numbers wise, the type of season AJ Brown put up as soon as he left that offense kind of towards a more pass centric offense.
Yeah. Yeah. So if DeAndre Hopkins were to go there, I think Treylon takes a pretty decent hit. So I'm not, we talked about Treylon a couple weeks ago, in just where his value was, and there are a decent amount of paths to him losing value.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, I don't see, he's not in the YouTube yet, but.
But yeah.
Boom, no, back.
What okay. would, I know it would take a big hit on him. Do you think if D-Hop does sign there, Treylon's value kind of drops to where like he might be able to get him for like somewhere in the second round?
No.
You don't think it would help that?
I think his value would firmly go to around where like Calvin Ridley is at, where he's in a little bit of that mix and paradox.
Between like the early second versus first.
Yeah, like I just think he's closer to a first still than he is a second round pick.
I wouldn't sell him unless I could get a first back. But I was just wondering, because I was going to say, if that is the case, then I'd be trying to buy him for seconds across leagues.
Yeah, I just... I'm not sure that's going to happen. I don't know. But for Frank, we were talking about D-Hop to either the Patriots or the Titans. It doesn't really seem like that's an ideal landing spot either way. McAfee show was talking about all hands pointing to DeAndre Hopkins going to the Titans earlier today. What do you think about that potential?
I mean, to me personally, it doesn't really impact Traylon's value a ton.
I think it does.
No, because Traylon is in that boat still, where if he's a good player, he's going to get his. So,
I think the problem is more so this philosophy of the Tennessee Titans offense and Vrabel and what they do, where if D-Hop ends up on the Titans, I think he's just going to be the number one wide receiver. I don't think Traylon's better than D-Hop. D-Hop always commands a crazy target share. And then I compared it to with A.J. Brown, where he needed a very high target share to put up even borderline wide receiver two numbers on the Titans. So I don't know how much production you're going to see out of Traylon if he is the second wide receiver on the Tennessee Titans offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think his production might take a small hit, but I still don't really care all that much, because I think one other thing that at least I'm thinking about is just a potential philosophy change with this Titans offense.
Do you think they'd pass more if they feel more comfortable in those two receivers?
I think some games they definitely would. I'm not sure this is like in every game, they're always going to pass more. But how I look at this Titans offense right now is, if you're going to do the same thing that you've done the past 2 years, your offensive line is now the worst it's been. And this is now the oldest that Derrick Henry has been. So, like, cool, you guys can go ahead and do the same recipe and just try to be Henry merchants and run the ball the most in the league and throw the ball the least in the league. But now I think that compared to every single year that this has worked, you're now at the weakest tactical advantage doing it. So I feel like the Titans in the back of their mind should know this as well.
I'm trying to see. Here we go. Okay. I'm looking at. Oh, I want this. This is just an experiment that I'm running through. I have no clue what the answers are going to be. But the Raiders, I want to see how many pass attempts they had in 2022 compared to 2021. Yeah. They had 20. In 2021, they passed the ball 38 times. In 2022, they passed it 34.5 times. So they went down despite adding Davante Adams. I just don't know if I see a philosophy change happening with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if that's like a – I don't expect it to go up barring any big coaching changes or anything.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I just – adding D-Hop – it eliminates Traylon from being a 25% plus target share type of player this year. I will 100% give you that. But in terms of actual tangible value difference, like JT, you're now all of a sudden not valuing Traylon at a late first round pick.
I just think he's not going to see a big value increase if DeAndre Hopkins is there, barring DeAndre Hopkins staying healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the masses aren't going to go out and all of a sudden snap up Traylon Burks because DeAndre Hopkins is there, probably the opposite. So if you're looking at a value perspective, I just think this could just be another punt year for Traylon, kind of like a Rashad Bateman, where it's like...
If that is the case, I'm going to send offers for him after the year, or maybe like midseason. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that I would do. Because I still think he's a good player, and I mean, time will tell what he's doing. But it's signs are pointing to it's a very difficult path for Traylon Burks to pop off if DeAndre Hopkins is there.
Well, the thing is, too, though, going back on the A.J. Brown thing, in 2020, Corey Davis's last season with the Titans, in 14 games, he was able to put up 984 yards and 5 touchdowns. If Treylon's able to do what Corey Davis did in that Titans offense...
Isn't that because, though, A.J. Brown missed a few games?
Maybe, but Corey Davis missed a few games as well.
That's a good point.
What year was that, Frank?
That was 2020, his last year with the Titans.
So in 2020, A.J. Brown also played 14 games. So maybe there was a slight overlap of them.
What did A.J. Brown finish with?
A.J. Brown in 2020 finished as wide receiver 9 in standard, 12 in PPR. He had 106 targets, 70 receptions, 1,075 yards, 11 touchdowns.
Okay. We still had a really good year. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah.
That you brought up with them kind of changing their philosophy. I don't know. I'll be rooting for Treylon to do well.
But let me ask you this. Like, Treylon finishes as wide receiver 28, 25. Like, is his value going up? Is it going down? Like, where?
I think it would go up if he finished around wide receiver 25.
I think it remains relatively consistent.
All right, because all things considered, I think that's probably what you'd be looking at then. Like, if he's getting that Corey Davis kind of season, that's probably what you're...
But I think that's a dub for Treylon. I think if you have Treylon and he puts up just under 1,000 yards and a handful of touchdowns, I'm completely fine with that. He was playable, his value has remained consistent, and now he has his trajectory is consistently going up. There's a very realistic chance that the season after he puts up over 1,000 yards.
My argument then is you could probably just buy him after the season for a similar price and then reap the benefits in the following year, if that's the case, where you might be able to instead transition to a different player that might pop and then just pick him up the following year. Like, I'm looking behind him. There's not many wide receivers, well, I think.
Timeout. Because you're not factoring in the fact that his price is going to dip if D-Hop gets there. So you have to sell after the D-Hop dip and then buy back the following year.
Okay, that part, I see what you're saying there. So do you get out of Treylon now? Well, I guess if D-Hop doesn't end up there, then what's the point? How far down do you think Treylon would tank if D-Hop ends up there?
He goes to where Jahan Dotson's being picked.
Okay, so like a full round.
A round and a half. maybe he goes to where like Hollywood and Amari Cooper are at. But then I think he's definitely a buy. Like
Hollywood is so underrated.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like I'd rather trade Treylon for Hollywood. I think Hollywood's, first off, he's got the benefit of DeAndre Hopkins not being there. I think you buy into Hollywood right now, you get the Hollywood pop from this year that I think is going to happen, and then you just trade Hollywood when he's appropriately valued for someone like Treylon, who might be then undervalued.
Okay, how about Deontay instead of Hollywood? Because I think we're all on the same page with Hollywood.
Well, Deontay I put in the exact same realm.
Okay. All right, so then
you just named two. Yeah, then maybe
I mean, listen. If you believe that, then maybe you should, especially as a contender, try to sell Treylon before this happens, and then if you really want him, you can buy him back at basically what you sold him for.
Yeah, because in a world where DeAndre Hopkins does end up on the Titans, I see very few paths to Treylon increasing his value next year. Not saying he doesn't, but it's going to be much more difficult than if DeAndre Hopkins isn't there. So,
because if you have Treylon after D-Hop signs with the Titans, you can still trade Treylon plus for a receiver that you think is going to be really good. Someone like Hollywood, McLaurin, right? That whole tier of receivers that I said earlier on the podcast, Godwin, you can go for upside with like a Flowers. You can give Treylon and a second and easily get any like one of those players in your league. So maybe there is merit to that. I don't know. I still like Treylon though. I think that I'm looking at these videos of the Titans and how Treylon is carrying himself now and everything. And I just, I feel like clicking. I feel like Treylon is now, like, he's stepping up into that player that he's supposed to be. And all the arrows are pointing up, and it's not like glaring in your face, like, oh, OTH, Treylon's the best player to ever exist and touch the field. No, it's just like, dude, he seems fucking confident. And this is a team that needs someone like a Treylon to step up.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I really like Treylon. It's just that if DeAndre Hopkins ends up there, I'm feeling much worse about Treylon for this year specifically, not for all of Dynasty.
Yeah, it's weird because of how much they run the ball. Because most of the time, I really don't care that much about a second dude entering the equation. Three dudes, that's a little much. You have to really be a baller to, because when you have three receivers, you have to be a pretty good offense or have, like, the shittiest tight end in the world.
Well, and speaking of that, your guy Chig would also take a huge drop, I feel like, if DeAndre ends up there.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, what if DeAndre Hopkins just makes this offense better? Because part of what has to happen with that Corey Davis, A.J. Brown scenario is that you have to be really efficient on your targets, and you have to be a pretty good offense, right? Like, you can sustain more players when your offense is actually good.
Yeah, score. I mean, just like more scoring opportunities. Like, you saw A.J. Brown finished, what, like wide receiver 9, you said, in standard, or 12 in that last year in Tennessee, when he only had like 1,000 receiving yards, but 11 touchdowns, which kind of carried it. So I think that's the path you really need Treylon to take. It's just having like close to 10 touchdowns, if not more. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I think DeAndre Hopkins probably gets signed pretty soon, like in the next week or two.
Oh.
Or do you think it's going to be something that drags out into camp like you guys thought with Dalvin Cook?
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah,
I would guess he signs sooner rather than later. But I don't know when. Anything else you guys want to add on?
Nope.
On top of the... Okay. Any other segments you want to talk about?
Are we out of the segment zone?
We're out of what we were originally scheduled.
We're out of the regularly scheduled program.
Now it's
part of the off season.
And now it's 3rd and 20.
Sports in general too. Basketball's over now too.
Yeah.
I saw a topic on Twitter that I found interesting, and it has to do with Garrett Wilson. Is Garrett Wilson being overvalued currently? Because a lot of the Garrett Wilson truthers are kind of just expecting him to become like the next best receiver in the league this year with Aaron Rodgers. Is there an argument to be made that Garrett Wilson is not that good and he's more so kind of like the back half of top end receivers and should be valued more closely to someone like a T. Higgins in Dynasty?
I think he's a tier above that T. Higgins group. Let me see where he's at right now. Him and C.D. Lamb are neck and neck, pretty much tied at wide receiver.
Yeah, like him, C.D. Lamb, A.J. Brown are probably all in that second tier of receivers, like the 1B to the Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jeffersons.
I mean, you guys know how high. I think he's deserves to. I would, if I were making Dynasty receiver rankings, I'd have him as my wide receiver 3 in Dynasty. So I don't think it's being overblown that much. I think he's about to have like an insane monster season.
I think it's fine where he is.
Because like, yeah, if you're,
I think I might agree with Lunas.
Yeah, like, I do too. I just was gonna see if you guys, I saw like, you know, someone was ranking their top 10 actual receivers in the league, and I think Garrett Wilson was not in them. And that's just for the short term this season, right? Yeah, not season, the Dynasty perspective. But I don't know. I thought it was an interesting debate whether or not Garrett Wilson was being... I also have him as my wide receiver. I would take him over CD and AJ Brown. I think CD and him are, like, generally speaking, the same value, right? Like, I think if you can get a plus on top of Garrett Wilson for CD, I'd do that. And vice versa, I'd do that. But yeah, I think he's pretty very fairly valued.
Yeah, and I do think even like in terms of top 10 entering next season, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I kind of expect him to finish around like top 10, top 12 finish. And then he's going to be what, about like 23 years old? So I expect him to be around there. And I don't think there was a, like someone like, you could say like a Tyreek Hill is going to be better next season, but which one are you picking in Dynasty? Garrett Wilson by a mile.
Yeah, that's no brainer.
So I don't know. I mean, people could say that. And if they want to think that and try to sell on them, I'm good with buying Garrett Wilson at his price currently. Because I think he's right there with like those. Obviously, he's not passing Chase or Jefferson, but I for me, he's like solidified wide receiver number three.
So let me ask you this: in a startup draft,
very early,
would you trade two first, 2 seconds in your startup to go move into like the early second and pick him up, early mid second?
Two first and 2 seconds.
Startups is kind of tricky because I guess you would have to like make the rest of your roster around. Like you're not going to do what a lot of people do with startups where like you're just going to tank the first year or two. I would be okay with doing that. I think if I was just the rest of my roster played out to make it competitive immediately where I'm not giving up like a 102.
Well, yeah, if you're like picking in the top handful of picks and you're getting that like stud QB1, I mean, let's do 7th pick in the startup, right? You don't even have to be in the top half. You pick up Lamar Jackson or Trevor Lawrence, you trade up into the early second to pick up Garrett Wilson, and then you have either Dak Prescott, Bryce Young, Kyler Murray, CJ Stroud, Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson that you could pick from, you know, one of those will be available. Or then you could pick up Jaylen Waddle, Amon-Ra, Olave, or your RB1 and Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall. That's a pretty solid start. It's just, is he that level, right? Like, is he there?
Here's trades that have happened recently with Garrett Wilson. And then you guys could judge what he's worth. Garrett Wilson for Justin Fields straight up. Garrett Wilson for Chris Olave in a second. Garrett Wilson for Jordan Addison in a first. I'm trying to find more just soul Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson in 2025 first for CeeDee Lamb in 2024 second. Garrett Wilson for a 2024 first, a 2025 first, and 2024 second. Garrett Wilson for Jerry Jeudy, Zay Flowers in 2024 first. Garrett Wilson for T. Higgins in 2025 first. Garrett Wilson in 2024 first, 2025 first for Trevor Lawrence.
So I think he's generally speaking around the two late firsts and a second or 2 seconds, somewhere around there.
That's what it appears to be, yeah.
Like, are you still buying at that price?
I'd much rather. Well, let me see if I could find now if we're talking strictly players. I'd much rather I do like a player trade for Garrett Wilson than giving up my first. Skull saying, I have Garrett Wilson. I think he's overrated, like most wide receivers are. I don't think so. So looking at, like, would I trade Jaylen Waddle, Aaron Jones, and a third for Garrett Wilson? Yeah, that trade happened in the league.
Oh, interesting. Well, I was very interested in the trades where it's like Addison and a first for Wilson, or maybe like if you're a contender,
I would
DJ Moore and a first for Wilson.
I would trade Addison in a first. I trade DJ Moore in a first for Garrett Wilson. I trade both those guys. Where it gets interesting is like an Amon-Ra in a first or Garrett Wilson in a second, because they're rated pretty equally, but that's a trade that did happen. And that would be somewhat close for me, because I do think Garrett Wilson can make that jump to top three wide receiver. Amon-Ra, I just don't think can do that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Amon-Ra is hard because I definitely like Amon-Ra, because, I mean, it, as a receiver, you have to be good to demand, like, what? He had, like, a 27% target or something?
Yeah, it was high.
So you have to be pretty good to do that. But I also don't think that Amon-Ra is this dude who's going to go out there and put up, like, 1,500 yards. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that his upside is kind of what we just saw last year.
Ooh, Skoll saying the Knights are up 2-0.
Absolutely not give up two firsts and 2 seconds.
Yeah, at that point, I wouldn't do that.
I think that depends. I do think that depends, because if those are all late picks, like if you make back-to-back championships in a 12-team league, I think that trade is very worth it. If I give up 2 1-11s and 2 2-11s, like that, to me, that's a pretty darn good move.
But
yeah, you have to make 2 championships in your 12-team league. But I mean, let's say you give up 1 10 this year, which is either Zay Flowers or Dalton Kincaid in most leagues, and then you give up your first next year and then 2 seconds. You know, you could do a late second this year, let's say 2 10 this year and a 24 second. Now what do you think about that?
It's definitely not bad, but that's a lot of draft capital.
Would you guys rather have 101 or Garrett Wilson?
Oh, Bijan.
Yeah, I think it's Bijan by a smidge.
I was gonna say it's close for me.
I could definitely see an argument for either, actually.
On Keep Trade Cut, they're super close to one another.
In startup, Bijan's 111, Garrett Wilson's 205.
Yeah, in total rankings, they're 9th and 11th, with Bijan at 7,690 and Garrett Wilson at 7,014.
I think I would pick Bijan, but it's not like I'm having Bijan a whole lot higher.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anything else you guys want to talk about? Oh, we're in the free 3rd and 20 unhinged, I guess I'd call it.
Well, yeah, if anyone has anything they want to talk about in chat, feel free to throw it in while I try to think of the next thing I want to speak of. I think we talked about Kenny Pickett in relatively recent
last week, so 2 weeks ago.
Right, so I'm not going to bring him up. I think Austin Eckler's overvalued.
Same.
Agreed.
Isn't it likely that this is his last year on the Chargers?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He did show up to camp, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, I just look at that 406 current price tag. Dude, I think that there's a very realistic chance his price literally cuts in half.
I agree.
Just simply out of aging, I think it probably will get close to that.
Yeah, there's aging, and then there's literally your price gets cut in fucking half.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could make the same argument for Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones, I think he went up a little bit in value. Like, his value has not moved from last year to this year.
He's running back 28 this year. He was that low last year?
On the startup chart, he's where I think I picked him in the middle or later part of the 9th round, and he's early 9th round. Okay, maybe he went down like a couple hundred Keep Cherry Cup points, but all things considered, he's basically the same price.
Interesting.
Because I couldn't get a first for him last year, and I still can't get a first for him. But
I wasn't able to get a first for him like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He's always just kind of been undervalued. I mean, now he's older, but... besides that, I don't have anything off the top of my head.
Watson is going to be... Christian Watson's going to be stealing drafts. Ian, are you another Christian? What's up with the random...
He's got a cult following.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm with it. I saw some OTA hype today. He burnt J.R. Alexander for like a 90-yard touchdown.
Well, let's play a game. Are you taking Christian Watson over DK Metcalf? Mr. Ian?
I'm not.
Because there's another dude, Shadrock or something. Mm-hmm. Huge. Every single chat like is Christian Watson, which is hilarious. I love it. But I feel like that's just the chat's favorite player is Christian Watson. I see him all the time. Every episode, we've got a message about Christian Watson in there.
I love it. I'm with them.
Here's someone I want to bring up. What about Hendon Hooker?
What about him?
No, thank you.
Like, he's at low key pretty high in value. I mean, you look at the players he's ranked around: Cortland Sutton, Brandon Cooks. I mean, not like super highly valued, Darnell Mooney, but these are players that have some legitimate competitive and value upside that are around him. So it's not like he's, I pick him up for a third for the dart throw. Like, you have to invest second round capital to pick up a Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I don't want Hendon Hooker at that price.
I probably don't either.
Lewis and I were just talking about, I think this was before you joined us, pre-sode, what we think about Joe Milton next year.
I don't know, but he looks like a fucking beast.
Yeah.
He looks pretty crazy.
He can sling the ball.
Yeah, dude, I saw him throw the ball 80 yards standing still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was bringing that up because I saw a thing on Twitter earlier today where people were trying to guess who is going to be kind of like the QB2 and QB3. I think people are assuming May is going to be the QB2, but trying to guess who's going to be the QB3 in next year's NFL draft. And I think it's going to be him, assuming he doesn't just like fall on his face this season.
Which we've seen before with quarterbacks, but yeah. I think he's good.
He's a fucking cannon.
I mean, here's something we could. Are there any, like, as a rebuilder? Because, I mean, I've been taking over shitty orphan teams, just dog shit orphan teams. Is there anyone I should be buying, like, overpaying for that they're just the best buys to go pick up?
Cheap guys I like grabbing: Rashid Shaheed, Jalen Naylor.
I did pick up Jalen Naylor in waivers in one or two leagues because of UJT.
Nice.
You said to pick him up in one of the sets, and I went out and
like low round guys who you take away.
Yeah. Just as a rebuilder, like, who should I be getting? I don't really care where they are, like, but I need them to go up in value.
We've been saying all offseason, I still like buying Kyler, especially if you're a rebuilding team. And Hollywood, I think they're both undervalued.
Because, like, I have Kenny Pickett in one of my rebuilding teams, and I don't really like Kenny Pickett. Yeah. He does have a lot of upside, but I can't get a first for him. Like, just like a future first. So he's someone that I would look to package with other shit to try and get someone who's pretty darn good, right? So, like, Jordan Addison, for example, if I really wanted him, I could probably give Kenny Pickett and some stuff to get Jordan Addison. I just need to find the dude who's going to go up. You should do a roster construction series. Why you roster the guys you do, and why you roster X number of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends in different formats. Yeah, that's interesting. To be honest, I haven't really operated a ton like that. I just kind of like to get guys that I think are good. But I will say, Skull, you've changed my look on the running backs, because I've seen you have some really decent success by just stocking a shit fuck of backup running backs, and it has kind of worked out.
I think a lot of things go into it, like league format, if it's full PPR versus standard or half PPR, depending which way you could lean more towards receivers versus running backs. And then obviously super flex or QBs, and in terms of, like, you probably want more if you don't feel great about your first two. Like, if they're not one of those, like, top, like, I don't know where, like, the franchise quarterback list cuts off of, like, guys you're going to be comfortable with long-term. Maybe, like, it's more now than it was last year. So what is it? Maybe, like, 13? Like, the cutoff kind of gets around, like, Dak. So if you don't have, like, two of those top guys, I'm probably more likely to carry more QBs on my team. And in terms of receivers and running backs, I kind of lean with Frank's side, where I don't put like too much thought into the specific number of each.
I just think one of the issues I run into with the roster construction game theory, at least with good, like, the higher end players, is that no matter what, if you have players that are good and highly valued and scored, it doesn't really fucking matter how many you have or what the league format is, barring complete outliers. And I guess one thing I would say is that in the traditional format with just the two receivers and one flex, I do have like a little bit of a hit towards the receivers, a smidge there. because then at that point it's like replaceable receivers are just like very eh. But I've structured all of my leagues now are three receivers, multiple flex spots, and a super flex spot. So it's like now that doesn't really matter as much in those leagues. And like, yeah, for the back end guys, I think that there's a huge argument to be made about like, you might as well just roster whoever a handcuff running back is over a random receiver that you kind of like. But once again, yeah, that argument goes like Rashid Shaheed, right? He could fit that roster clogger receiver until he's good. And then it's like, okay, I just sold low on, I sold Rashid Shaheed for a third, and now he's like a legitimately good receiver.
I think there's a difference between the Rashid Shaheeds of the world and the Mecole Hardmans, Paris Campbells. I'm just trying to look at like players ranked. Tyler Boyd. Like, we know what Tyler Boyd is at this point.
Yeah.
We know what Adam Thielen is. I'm looking around who's ranked around him. But there's a difference between that young rookie second year wide receiver and kind of established, like they're okay, they're gonna get you 8 points a game, but they're not gonna do anything much more than that, kind of players. As far as like roster construction goes though, if I could throw my two cents in here, unless it's like a crazy different format, like I typically only play super flex, mostly tight end premium, so unless you're like getting like a crazy deviation away from that, like you know, just a standard one QB league or something. Like I typically just roster players I like and don't really care about what the position breakup is, like, unless it's like wildly, like I only have one starting quarterback in Superflex, you know? I think typically I'll try and have three starting quarterbacks, maybe four, 2 to 3 starting running backs, bunch of handcuffs or just like low level kind of like floor play guys. Wide receivers, I like to have three top 24 at least. And then just a bunch of random guys. And then the tight end, I want to have like a top 5 tight end. And then just give me one or two interesting guys. But I don't like to roster a bunch of tight ends at this point. I find it just hasn't been worth it. So that's kind of my roster breakdown, I guess. And then I won't really typically deviate from that. Like, there's players that I think are undervalued that I'll go out and get, and whatever it takes to kind of get them, I'll try, as long as I'm not paying above what I think they should be valued at. And then vice versa, players that I think are like, I'll just go with like Nick Chubb last year, I thought was overvalued. So I traded away Nick Chubb. Player that I thought was undervalued was, I thought CeeDee Lamb was undervalued when Dak went down, so I went out and got CeeDee Lamb, and then I thought he was overvalued when Dak came back, so then I traded CeeDee Lamb. I don't know, but I'm not really like tied to many players.
So I'll throw in two more things. One is that I think that this roster construction thing is much more important in leagues with a lot more starting players in your lineup or more players in the league. Because like going back to Skoll's thing where he just rosters a shit ton of handcuff running backs, that's in a 14-team league. And yeah, in these 14-team leagues, depth is a big concern. If you lose two top players compared to your real contender 12-team leagues, you can't really replace that with the two extra players in the league, right? Because I'm in these 12-team leagues. I've had contending rosters, like, in our home league. I last year was able to make the championship without Cooper Kupp and without Lamar Jackson. That is probably not going to happen in your 14-team league. So, and especially, like, you know, we look in, like, these super large best ball tournaments. Like, you have to live by that now if you really want to win the jackpot. You have to do these roster construction theory kind of things. You're not going to win without it, or at least you're really kicking yourself in the shin at your chances of winning without it. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I think that in my process, this applies more to how I draft more so than when the league is going, who I'm trading for and trading away and what players I want to keep and what players I want to discard. Because like in these super flex drafts, always hammering top end QBs early when I can. And then I want to go receivers in the mid rounds. And that's mainly because I think that the receivers and quarterbacks and even tight ends, just not necessarily recently, because there's not like a huge amount of like insanely good tight ends. That just kind of sets you up so that you're going to have a good team for both competing and for value. Whereas like when you invest in these running backs, unless they're of a specific caliber, so like Jonathan Taylor, I think is fine, but you have a lot of other running backs like a Kenneth Walker, even like a Najee Harris where he's being drafted. These are just extremely risky players to invest that level of value in. And when you have a clean slate at your disposal of players to choose from, I might rather just play it safe and take a Quentin Johnston or a Jordan Addison, because I can always trade, even when the draft is over, I can go and trade them for Aaron Jones really fucking easily, or trade into by trading them away and trading my draft pick for Aaron Jones, right? So like, I think the roster construct, that's not even really roster construction, that's more like draft theory, I think. But I'm definitely open to that sort of stuff. I just don't really live by it. But I think I might start changing that up in the 14-team league a little bit, because that definitely makes a difference, right? If you have an army of those handcuffed running backs, odds are that they're one of them is going to become productive just by opportunity. And that really helps in that format where depth is at a premium.
True. Yeah, that's well said.
Because I think in the 12-team leagues, dude, in the 12-team leagues, if you make good trades, you can make a roster of all nasty running backs. You can make them all a nasty receiver. It doesn't fucking matter, because there's enough. Once you get to a certain value threshold, you have like a surplus of players. Like guys like, let me find a player like a Christian Kirk, who for most good teams would start. There are nasty 12-team dynasty teams where Christian Kirk is now like a matchup-dependent flex play. So it doesn't matter if that's a running back, a tight end, or a receiver. Like, your team's going to be fucking nasty once you're at that level.
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Not off the top of my head. Orphan team, yeah. Hollywood, McBride, Kyler, Tua.
Yeah, Kyler, those all your good. A better start than a lot of times you'll get at quarterback in orphan teams.
Yeah, at least you have good young quarterbacks on that orphan team. Because you have
I was going to say, a lot of times you go to an orphan team, you hope for one. A lot of times there's none. Like, you guys remember the one you guys took over? There was a jack shit.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, QB1. I mean, the league I'm in, it was Kenny Pickett and basically no one else. Kenny Pickett and Sam Darnold. It was like a common theme there.
Yeah, so I like that. You see common theme. Yeah, so I mean, I like that. You're starting off with those two guys. That's better than a lot of orphan team situations that you're going to see.
But yeah, I'm not sure there really is a one-size-fits-all or a strategy that in the 12-team leagues that I've seen that's like, oh yeah, I'm 100%. Like, because when you're going the roster construction route, I think you kind of sometimes come to a crossroads where you have to forego a higher valued asset for your roster construction theory, right? So, for example, in a draft, it would be like, okay, I'm going to take Chase Brown over Jalen Hyatt, even though I think that Jalen Hyatt is better, but I need to amass more handcuffs. And I'm not really willing to buy into that right now.
Can you repeat that? So Jalen Hyatt.
So I'm not sure
if I'm following your point.
In a perfectly liquid market, you could trade, if you are drafting at 211 or 212. I don't fucking know.
Sure. Okay.
In a perfect world, you can move back, pick up your running back, and then accrue the value difference between Jalen Hyatt and Chase Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, I am not able to do that a lot. So when I'm drafting and I'm constructing my team, if I'm going to go with Skull strat of just amassing handcuff running backs, eventually you're going to reach a point where I have to forego a receiver that I like more for a running back that fits my roster construction theory. And yeah, the value gap might not be huge, right? Like, what's the realistic difference between
Jalen Hyde and Chase Brown?
Yeah, like a third at most. Probably not even.
I mean, in startups, it's what? Jalen Hyatt's 12-10 in startups. Chase Brown is 13-05, so it's like a couple spots. It's probably negligible. You probably have people that are drafting Chase Brown over Jalen
Hyatt. Right. But like, as even Marvin Mims, right? If you like Marvin Mims and he's going, is that the right direction? Wait, I lost Hyatt. Yeah, like Marvin Mims is like a round higher than Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you now, if you can't trade back and you really want to follow the strategy, are you going to take that running back, or are you going to draft the receiver that is higher valued and you might like more as a prospect? I think that that's the difficult thing I would have following it.
Yeah. Personally, I go with the player I like, or more so the player that's highly valued than the player. Like, I don't want to try and outsmart ADP when there's that big of a gap. If you're telling me it's, you know, let me look at, I want to make sure I'm not talking out of turn here when I see where they're ranked. Yeah, they're ranked right next to each other. If you're telling me it's Quinn Johnson and Jordan Addison, like, I'm hitting Quinn Johnston every time.
Yeah.
I just like him better. Now, theoretically, let's just say Quinn Johnston was ranked the spot behind Jordan Addison instead of the spot ahead. But if it's the difference between the likes of an Anthony Richardson, someone who I've been on the record just saying that I do not like, compared to the likes of a, I don't know, Zay Flowers, who I decently like. Like, I'm just not going to – it makes no sense to skip out on that value. That might have been a little too extreme, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to go out where the value is, and then I'll find a different way of recouping that value. And you know, maybe it doesn't involve, like, say I like JSN over Anthony Richardson. Maybe it doesn't involve trading Anthony Richardson for JSN Plus. Maybe it's – trading Anthony Richardson for, give me another quarterback, like a, I don't know if you could get Deshaun Watson, although he's ranked ahead of Deshaun Watson. Maybe it is. Maybe it is trading Anthony Richardson for Deshaun Watson, who I just like a lot more.
You could probably move Anthony Richardson to Dak Prescott. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll recoup that way. And there's no way that I'm going to be able to trade JSN for Dak Prescott. Like, it's just... it doesn't work like that. So that's more so how I'd be doing the roster construction if we're talking about that. I'd be more creative than a one-for-one, especially with the draft. There are other ways to win. There are other ways to get it than just a one-for-one, a move back, a move up.
Right. I don't know. I guess the all-in-all, my last point on the roster construction is that outside of like what you do with your very shittier assets, I don't know what the right words for it is, but yeah, if you're like in the 15th round of your startup draft and you're like, yeah, I'd rather have Jaylen Warren over Romeo Doubs. Okay. I can get behind that because it's like you're these guys are both illiquid, annoying, roster cloggier players. And if you're just like, dude, I want to have the chance of upside on Najee getting hurt rather than Romeo Doubs actually being good, I can get behind that. But when it comes to like the second round and above, it's almost like, yeah, once you start taking bad players, the whole thing falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always kind of just operated in, I just want good players. And also for the fucking bad thing, like if Romeo Doubs goes out there and starts putting up 1,200-yard seasons, you're going to be pretty fucking pissed you took Jaylen Warren.
True.
But at least in that one, that case happening is much less likely than with the top-tier guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like if you could find someone in the 19th round of your startup that is going to put up 1,200 yards, like it doesn't fucking matter what position they play. Like you're all, I guess if they play quarterback and only put up 1,200 yards passing, that's rough. But outside of that, but yeah, that's such an outlier scenario.
Yeah.
All right. We can end it here. Okay. Made it this far. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Skull, I'll think about this more, the roster construction thing. And we can maybe talk about it in a future show when we get some more thoughts together. But yeah, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it showing up in chat. We love y'all. But yeah, peace out. Have a good one and see ya.
Thanks, everyone.